16 and verse 7. And reading reading verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we ask that you would take these simple words which are spoken by the Apostle Paul and make them live within our hearts. We pray, Father, that as we would look at these words tonight, that we might see the simplicity, Father, that you are the Creator, you are the author of our faith, you who gave us life and breath, you are our all in all. And so, Father, we commit the study of thy word tonight. We ask your blessings upon it. We ask your blessings upon those, Father, who couldn't be here that are traveling. And we ask that you would be with them. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that this communion service would truly be one which we have felt your presence, and that your presence would be made very, very much aware in our hearts and in our lives. And so we commit the service to thee tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in this day of high-tech communications, it's quite interesting that with all the different sorts of communication devices that we have at our disposal, we have phones, we have fax machines, we have email, we have cell phones, we have pagers, etc., etc., etc. But you would think that people would be oversaturated with communicating and would long for peace and quiet, but it seems like people just can't get enough communications. And I believe that is because although we have all these devices to communicate, yet people are lonelier today than at any other time or in any other age. And that seems to me to be a paradox. When we have such easy access to each other via our modern equipment, but it's no less true. Not just 40 years ago, the average family throughout America had less than one phone per household. And in fact, it was not uncommon back then to see neighbors sharing a telephone. Norma, you probably remember those days when the neighbor maybe had one down the street and everybody went to their house to do it. I know in the country when I was dating Levant, not everybody out there had telephones, and so you might have somebody out in the country that had them. And now that's not so ancient ago, but it is about 25 years. And I remember growing up that we had what they called a party line in our neighborhood, and you pick up the phone and you might hear somebody else down the street talking to somebody. And eventually we all got off the party line, we all got our own lines. But back then, I can't remember what the exact figure was, but I think it was like something only like 2/3 of Americans had telephones in their home, and that's when we were growing up, Ron. And but in the past 25, 30 years, things have dramatically changed. And, you know, it's still somewhat that way in the third world countries today. I visited the Philippines, especially in remote towns, and they have call centers in the town where the people would line up to use the telephone, and of course they couldn't call anybody in the town, so they would most likely be long distance telephoning. But and they've turned a lot of those call centers now. They also have email where they have an 8-foot table, and they might have four machines on there. People pay so much, you know, so many pesos for a half hour, an hour, and they can get on and they can email people. But and they have internet communications as well. And it's also made available through the phone centers, and people have access to others around the world in the matter of minutes instead of a matter of months. When we first began communicating with the Philippines, it would take at least 2 months, possibly 3 months, to turn a letter back. In other words, they would take it, they'd write it, it would take probably 2 weeks to get here, it'd take me about maybe a week to get to it, write it, send it back, take another 2 or 3 weeks to get there. And then by the time that they answered my email, it'd be another 2 to 3 weeks. So you're talking about 2 to 3 months would go by before you had finalized on any decision, if you were talking about anything in particular. So But now it's a matter of minutes. If you happen to be at your desk and they email, it pops up and you can write them right back. And I have brothers from Africa saying, I'm sitting at the internet cafe, and you know, waiting your word, you know. And people halfway around the world, you know, we have all these communications, and yet it seems like the more and more ability we have to communicate, the more distant we become, and I just can't understand it. Well, I do understand it. I think I've got a little handle on it tonight, and I'd just like to talk about that. You know, the cost of communication has been reduced so substantially that you no longer must be a person of means to have access to it. I remember paying anywhere from 25 to 35 cents a minute for long distance when I was young. And if we want to make a long distance phone call, and not so young, I mean, when Yvonne and I were first married. And of course, that was back in the days when, you know, you made $100 a week, and you're doing okay. Now, you know, you have to make nine times that in order to be doing just okay. And it's really, when you consider that back then you paid 35 cents for a phone, you know, per minute, and now you're paying 3.5 cents a minute, and yet you're making nine times more than what you made back then, and it cost you 10 times less. But this is the way it is, and it just seems like more and more the communications are this globalism, this world, you know, everything's shrinking, and you know, there's our communications aren't so much with the person next door anymore; it's with people around the world, and that's just so different from what it used to be. I believe it has to do with the way our society has developed into such a fast-paced frenzy that people are speeding down the highway just to arrive on time, and then they have to wait. And then everything seems to be now. You got to have it now. You know, have it your way. And until we get irritated, if we go to the drive-thru and the person taking our order makes you wait 30 seconds. And then you get kind of aggravated because you had to wait 30 seconds, and you think, you know, that's a long time, when you never had service like that 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you go into a place and you could expect to be there for a half hour to, you know, to an hour. And maybe in 15 to 20 minutes, if you're lucky, you know, you get your food. But today, everything's just so fast, 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 fast. And yet, everybody's so lonely. Everybody's communicating, and yet nobody's saying anything. In Daniel chapter 12, in verse 4, we read, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. So we're looking at something that's supposed to take place at the end time. It says, Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we've got people running here, running there, running here, running there, and we've got knowledge increasing. We've got communications like we never had before, and yet people are more lonely than they've ever been. Now from the super sign, Brother Brown said, Why these cars we got today? You couldn't run over these highways that we used to have. My first trip west had taken me 16 days to go from Jeffersonville to Phoenix, Arizona. 1,800 miles. But my, the most of it was 1926. They had nothing but just rock roads. And I was a little boy sitting there holding this spool-top Ford, and I thought I was making good time. It would have taken a horse 2 or 3 months to do it if my daddy would have come. So just think about it. From Jeffersonville to Phoenix, Arizona, would have taken his father, his father's generation, 2 to 3 months to make that trip. Then in his generation, as a young man, it would have taken 16 days, so, you know, 2 weeks. And today we do it in 2 to 3 days or less. Or we can hop on a plane and do it for 2 to 3 hours. But you see now, he says, what happened all at once? 6,000 years has been the same. 6,000 years, man either walked or rode an ox, or we rode some type of animal. And now in the past 100 years, in fact, I think this is the anniversary this year of manned flight, 100 years ago. In the past 100 years, things have changed so dramatically from a plane that could only go 15 miles an hour to jets that can basically 2 times the speed of sound, or 3 times the speed of sound, Mach 3. 6,000 years has been the same. But right here in the last 50 years, He's come from a horse and buggy to a jet or a rocket. Why? The Bible said that they would run to and fro in these last days, and knowledge shall increase. It's a sign of the end time. Super. Everything must be super or it won't work. And today we've gone past the jet age into the age of communication. They call this the communications age. And yet what has happened? The world is increased with knowledge. And what has it done for the people out there? You can go to any source you want. In a matter of seconds, you've got your information. And has it brought peace? Has it brought rest? Or is it doing just the opposite? I remember years ago, just having to look up quotes, you had to pray by the grace of God. You could find the book. You could remember where it was. Our memories were very good because you could remember, oh, that was in such and such a book. And so you go grab that old red volume book and you start searching and say, there it is right there. Now we've got computers that we can flip it and 2 seconds later we got our answer. But really, is that our answer? We have moved into such a fast pace. Everything's moving. They shall run to and fro. In other words, jetting here, jetting there, jetting here, jetting there. Knowledge shall increase. We've got all the answers. Man's even cloning it. I don't know if you've seen it. The donkey or the jackassy they cloned the other day. You see that? Picture that? Is it in the paper? But what's it doing for us? As I said, it's not bringing rest. It's not bringing peace. I believe all this communication technology was created because people have a thirst. That's what it's all about. Men have a thirst for knowledge, a thirst for, well, the telecommunications is a thirst to get that knowledge from one place to the next. And when it boils right down to it, they have a thirst for fellowship. And yet they're so busy that they don't have time to even sit and talk to one another. It used to be that everyone had had a porch in the front yard, in the front of their house. And they would just sit there in the evening time and they'd talk to the neighbors. Or they'd just watch the neighbors coming and going. And, you know, hi, George, and all that kind of stuff. And they got to know the neighbor. Like Brother Brown said, a person could die next door and you wouldn't even know it today. And that was back 35 years ago. But something has happened to where the communications that we have today. We communicate more than ever before, and yet we don't communicate. There's something wrong with the system, if you want to call it that. That we can say words, letters, even talk on a phone. But it used to be you didn't have to do those things because the person you wanted to commune with was there. It was your neighbor. It was your mother. It was your father. They lived in the same home. And if they didn't, you'd get in the old buggy and go into town and you'd have a time where you could embrace one another. Touch. Hold. But today it's become so impersonal. And I believe that's why we're like our food and our diets. Brother Branham said it, and science has proven it, that there is nothing in the foods today. There's no minerals. That's why you have this insatiable appetite just to eat, but because you can't get filled. It's like eating air. And our communications that we do is like, you're doing it, but you're not. there isn't a personal touch. So there's got to be a presence in order for fellowship to be real. There's got to be a personal presence. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. But today we have all the communication devices imaginable, and we constantly use them, and yet people are more lonely now than when they didn't have them years ago. And what's causing all this to happen? Well, God created man to have a thirst for God, a thirst for fellowship. And yet we try to quench our thirst in every other conceivable manner, and by doing so we leave Him out of the picture altogether. How many times have you had some issue come up in your life and you want to get on the phone and talk to somebody, maybe to get a little bit of advice or something like that? And you go from one person to the next, to the next, to the next, trying to find some satisfaction. And you don't get it. Finally, you go to your knees. And you begin to talk to your Father. And He lays it out so plain for you that you wonder, why was I always running? Communicating. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's gone through, Jesus, our brother, went through every trial that we go through. And He understands. So God has placed a thirst within us. And Paul says, for none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And then, if this is so, then we have a stewardship to God for our very lives. None of us liveth to ourselves, and surely none of us will die without affecting someone else. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, our complete focus should be on Christ. Now let's just take the step a little bit further. He said, none of us live to himself. And in the book of Acts, turn with me to chapter 17. And reading verse 28, we read, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So therefore, if we live in him and in him we move, for in him we live and move and have our being, and we are his offspring, therefore if we live to the Lord. He brought us here. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, we read, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. He appears, we appear. We become a reflection. Therefore, when we seek to communicate, we should begin by looking to the Lord first. For He is our very life. In 1 John chapter 1, and reading from verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses. You have your answer. always it must come back to the blood, because the blood brings fellowship. Then they that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and he heard. And a book of remembrance is written of them. In Hebrews 10, in verse 19 we read, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." And so he encourages us, not only encourages, he commands us that we should come together to communicate one with another. We find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning of verse 13, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." How close then is it, if the parousia has already began and has been going on for almost 40 years? Well, it has been 40 years. 63 since it actually began before that. But I'm talking about the headship has come 40 years ago. This past April, 40 years ago, headship took place. The cloud came down, pillar of fire came on the scene. The seals were opened. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so ever be with the Lord." In other words, presence from here out. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I think the fact of people being lonely it's discomforting. To be all alone is discomforting. Or to be in a group of people and yet be so alone is discomforting. That's why a lot of young people go haywire. They're looking for love. They're looking for someone to be with, to talk to be part of them. And that's why many times they make the mistake, because the little girl comes into a big, big, bad town, and Mr. Pimp, who knows how to woo and coo, and who knows how to talk soft and gentle, and knows how to win their affections, he does it, and then he's got another girl in his lineup. That's exactly what takes place. People are lonely. The songs back in the 60s, "All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Come From?" All the lonely people, where do they all belong? From a message called Church Dedication, Brother Branham said, "No wonder the church natural today can't believe in miracles. They've never come into the miracle working place where they're at rest with God." Could we lay on our side for 3.5 years like, Elijah? 3.5 years in one place? Let the ravens feed you? Could we go any place and spend a week without talking to anyone except for talking to God? I think if you did, I think you'd come back a different person. He said, no wonder the church natural today can't believe in miracles. They've never came into the miracle working place where they're at rest with God. There's where Aaron's rod budded. Something that was dead. An old dry stick off the desert in that holiest of holies took new life and bloomed blooms and sprouted out and brought leaves. How? It was laying in the holiest of holies. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know because we had the same experience. We had an old dead stick. Unknowingly laid on it for 3 to 4 months. It was under the bed. It was hollow stick. No water in it. And yet 4 months later, when I was cleaning under the bed, I found the stick. And it was growing new leaves on it. And you can take a dead sinner, rotten, carnal in his mind, and in his thinking, a criticizer of the power of God, and bring him into the presence of the Holy Ghost, and there'll be something happen to him, sure. Entering into that lonely place with God. Think about dwelling for an eternity by yourself. You know why he could do it? He was satisfied with his thoughts. Why can't we do it? We're not satisfied with our thoughts. Brother Branham says, sure, entering into that lonely place with God. And you have found, most likely, in your Christian walk, the more and more you've walking hand in hand with the Lord, the more the world forsakes you, friends forsake you, family forsakes you, people dear to you forsake you. And you find yourself walking alone with the Lord. Jesus came the same path until he cried out in the garden, my God, or from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He dwells, says Moses in the next chapter, in the thickness of the darkness. That's where God dwells. That's where life stays, is in the midst of the rotten corruption. Where does life stay? In the seed after it's rotten. When it dies to itself, it brings forth a new life. And where does God stay? He will stay with you if you're ready to die out to yourself and give Him a chance. Service, body, intellectual, spirit, thoughts, and soul, your faith in God, a 3-room house. And from the message, Thy Loving Kindness, Brother Branham said, the American people want to be entertained. They don't want the gospel no more. They want entertainment. And the devil's given them all that he can. Just led them in all around and everything, and they don't thirst for God no more. Why? They've got entertainment. All the kids in this country, 95% of the kids in Chattanooga, could tell you more about Davy Crockett than they could tell you about Jesus Christ. 90%, 95% of the women can tell you more about Arthur Godfrey or Elvis Presley than they could tell you about Jesus Christ. Think of it. Think of it. Can't you see it's gone? Flee, Christian. There's a fountain open. The water's near. Life is near. Flee to it quickly. Drink. Drink. Drink till you can't drink no more. God will satisfy that thirst. God bless you. Now I'm going to pray for you. All the lonely people. Why? Because they will not come to the fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood but it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Where sinner plunge beneath that flood, they lose all their guilty stains. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Not much, Father, but a thought from my heart that help that might help us, Father, to reflect a little bit, to realize, Lord, that we need one another. No man can live unto himself, but yet without you, even the fellowship wouldn't suffice. So, Father, we just pray that we might each, as a body of Christ together, and as individuals, that we might walk in the light as you are in the light, and therefore have fellowship with you, knowing the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. And now we just commit these words unto thee, you, the author and finisher of our faith, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.